opportunity knocks upon my door. I have such humility like you never saw before. Humility, humility. Julius lost his humility.
Dear Mr. Godfrey, that was a hit on the radio back in the 50s. Ruth Wallace was the singer, the writer, the composer, and she has ties to Northeastern Connecticut. Very famous lady, and her son happens to be in my studio today. His name is Alan Pastman from South Killingly. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gary.
So you're living in South Killingly. You've got this famous mom who was known to nationally and internationally renowned back in, are we talking 40s and 50s here?
Her career began just prior to World War II, and she retired about 1970.
Okay. And just a huge catalog of music. Is it safe to say she was a cabaret singer?
Cabaret would be fair. She composed all the words and music to everything that she sang. Her music ran the gamut from jazz to calypso to show tunes, but her main success was with her double entendre risque comedy.
Yeah, some saucy songs.
Very saucy.
Back in the day. She incredible talent if you listen to some of the songs. First of all, they're hilarious. The double entendre is very easy to pick up. But the compositions are pretty sophisticated. I mean, it's a lot of novelty songs are just really stripped down. You know, there's no extras. There's orchestration. There's arrangements. They move nicely. She was a very talented writer and composer, wasn't she?
Yes, she certainly was. Unfortunately, due to the mores of the time, a lot of the material that she wrote could not and still can't be played on the air. No dirty words involved, but just the suggestiveness of it. Had the music banned in Boston. Her records were confiscated in Australia when she went there to tour. And unfortunately, as a result of that, she's really not very well known.
However, she lives on the internet. If you look her up on YouTube, there's a ton of her songs on YouTube. There's a lot of information if you just Google Ruth Wallace. It's spelled W-A-L-L-I-S. And again, her son, Alan, lives in South Killingly. Tell me, what is the roots to South Killingly? How did your family end up in South Killingly?
Well, my father, Hi Pastman, worked at this Plainfield dog track for many years. Mm-hmm. My mother and he divorced in 68, but they reconciled 20 years later. Neither one of them had ever remarried, and they were back together just before he passed.
Okay. So were you born in Killingly?
No. I was born in New Jersey.
Okay.
I was born in Newark.
Yeah.
Which is pretty tough.
Yeah.
And we moved to Miami Beach when I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
We lived there for about 10 years. My mother was a constant fixture performing on the beach at the various hotels. When my parents divorced in 68, the family was more or less torn apart. And as I'm sure many people from divorce situations understand, I lived in six different states, a new school every year for 6 years while I was growing up. But I did finally come to rest in South Killingly, 1987. On the way there, I lived in New York, in California, in New Jersey. I spent 6 months in Sydney, Australia. So along the way.
Yeah. And your mom lived in South Killingly for what period?
She did. She lived in South Killingly from 1987 until she passed in 2007.
So the end of her life was spent in South Killingly. Tell me about those last 10 years in South Killingly. Did the phone ring? Were people asking about Ruth Wallace? Did her neighbors know that they had a pretty famous neighbor right there?
Our neighbors knew. Mm-hmm. However, she was always trying to further her musical ambitions. She had written a lot of straight music. We still have musical score, lyrics and dialogue to three Broadway-style shows that are just collecting dust. She tried to get them produced, but they were very expensive. People didn't know who she was anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But she was able to get Boobs the Musical produced
Tell me about this show, Broadway show.
Yes. In 2003, my mother at the age of 83 had a show called Boobs the Musical, which was based on her music.
She was 83 years old at the time.
She was 83 on opening night at the Triad Theater in New York. Yeah. Triad is a small cabaret-style theater off Broadway.
Yeah. Yes, okay. And it ran for about a year, you said?
It ran over a year.
Right. She was in the show? She was in the
no,
show?
No.
But she was there for the opening.
She was 83 years old. Yeah. Not a lot of dancing at 83.
That's what I'm thinking. Okay. So, but she was there for the opening. Okay.
Yeah, she was definitely there. I was there for the opening. Yeah. It was wonderful. It was a wonderful tribute to her. And unfortunately, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's at that time.
Yeah.
And the last 4 or 5 years of her life, she was in decline. But she was always happy. She was always a sweetheart, and that's the way. And she was always funny. She retained her sense of humor, which I'm very thankful for.
So when your kids are growing up, you knew what your mother was doing? Yeah, she sings these saucy songs in cabaret. Did you know what was going on?
Actually, no, you really never realized that. Yeah. The first memory I have is of walking down a hallway in my house and hearing loud music playing. I had escaped from my crib at the age of 3. And there was a violinist in our living room. Her name was Joan Field. And I guess from what I've checked on YouTube and on the internet, she was a rather renowned violinist. So that was the first memory I had of Mom's involvement in show business. I saw her perform a couple times in the major hotels in Miami Beach. At the time, probably I was 6 or 7. I would go there on my birthday.
Yeah.
And I can remember being very upset, saying, "But Dad, they're all laughing at Mom," and his response is, "They'd better be.
They better be. That's the whole act. That's the whole act, these funny songs." What was it like having a famous mother?
Well, you know, that was all that I ever knew. That was all that I could ever recall. When I spent time with her in Australia, I can remember waking up in the penthouse suite after opening night and flowers lining the walls. Couldn't take a bath. The bathtub was full of flowers. But in Australia, because of the laws they had there, I wasn't able to see her perform. You had to be over 21. So I never got to see her perform there. But we did travel, and we did stay together for 6 months in Australia, because they had decided that they spent too much time. My mother and my father spent too much time away from the kids, so they decided to take them along this time.
I see. So it's again, today when we look back, it just seems so quaint that they had all these restrictions. The song, there's no swears, no bad language in the song. It's just double entendre. That's all it is. It's just double entendre.
Up until 1970, when she used the terrible word boobs.
And then everybody's head exploded, right?
Right.
Yeah. But however, the snippet that I played, Dear Mr. Godfrey, that was a legit hit.
Yes.
It charted in Cashbox, and it was known nationwide and beyond as a result to Arthur Godfrey firing Julius LaRosa live on the air. And that was a big thing back in the day. And her song is excellent. I mean, it's very, very biting and cuts right to the chase. And the whole humility chorus here is very, very interesting. It's a great composition. That was a legitimate hit. So she did break out there. She did break out with that, which is pretty good. What do you remember most about your mom? Give me a few really fond memories of your mom.
Oh, geez.
Come on.
Well, of course, I remember opening night at the Triad Theater. And, you know, seeing the vindication that she experienced, because she hadn't been able to get any of her work produced, any of her straight work. As I said, the comedy stuff paid the bills, and the comedy stuff also scared anybody on the radio from playing any of her straight compositions, unfortunately.
Yeah. What was she like around the house? Just as a mom, did she sing to you? I mean, you know, nice song, lullaby.
She was constantly on the piano singing.
Yeah.
She was. So she was composing until she was into her mid-80s.
Yeah. Yeah. How would you like to see your mom remembered?
I would just like to have her remembered. I would like for her music to be played, for people to see that she really was ahead of her time. And I like, she has a lot of straight music out there that's great stuff. Love Is for the Birds is an album that she recorded in 59. And I really think it has some of the best jazz and love songs out there.
Love Is for the Birds.
Love Is for the Birds. Completely straight. Yeah, no bad words. No swearing. No boobs.
Okay. Well, do you have a favorite composition from your mom? Do you have one?
Well, I like My Children Are My Treasure.
My Children?
My Children Are My Treasure, which she wrote just for my sister and I, it was never produced. I did put together a YouTube video for Universal Children's Day. People can Google, can go onto YouTube and just put down My Children Are My Treasure, Ruth Wallace, and it's a beautiful song.
Yeah. And Wallace, by the way, is W-A-L-L-I-S.
I-S.
Yes, W-A-L-L-I-S, Wallace, Ruth Wallace. And again, with ties here to South Killingly, and her son, Alan, lives in South Killingly today. So what was your career? What did you do?
My career was survival. No, as I said, while growing up, I was in a different school every year for 6 years. That was an interesting experience. But I've worked in forms of gambling all my life. I've worked in dog racing and horse racing, and now I've landed at Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, where I'm in year 21 now. So
yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, and you look great, by the way. You're in great shape. What are you, about 65, you said? Look at this full head of hair going on.
65 in March.
Well,
in March.
I'll tell you what.
Matter of fact, I was born the same year that your radio station was.
1953. Right. We went around the air in 1953 here. I'm certain they probably didn't play any of her records back then because they were risque. They were risque. It cracks me up. Again, you'll get a kick out of listening to some of her songs if you go to YouTube. There's a ton of them. It's as if her whole catalog is there. And they're just double entendre. That's what she did, and she was known for that, and she performed, and was in demand too as a performer,
She performed all over the world. She performed for 30 years. She performed in South Africa, in London, in Australia, in Miami Beach, in Las Vegas, and numerous other places. But, you know, just as I said, because of the mores of the times, her material was never deemed suitable. It was deemed unsuitable for airplay.
Okay. And then, you know, again, today, you look at it today in 2018, and you see what goes and what passes here for normal, and you just say, oh, how quaint that we got pretty worked up about that stuff. Hey, we're out of time here today, Alan. I can't thank you enough. Number one, for getting up early to come out here to be with me this morning. I appreciate that very much. And, you know, this is on Fridays, we do a show called Remember When. This is like a Remember When, and I'm asking you today, do you remember Ruth Wallace? And if not, it's a pretty interesting story with ties to South Killingly, and her son still lives here.
Gary, if I could put in a short plug, Nicole Sanzio of Digi Music is, I have a production contract with her, and we do have a couple of long-term projects that are in the works now, so hopefully something will come out of that.
Okay, and there's a Facebook page also, and the Facebook page is Ruth Wallace. And again, W-A-L-L-I-S, Ruth Wallace. Check out her Facebook page and give it some love, and my Children Are My Treasure. Is also featured among other things on YouTube. Alan, thank you for being here today. We appreciate you, and what a great story. Thanks for sharing that.